Good evening, Holden Village. My name is Melinda, and I serve the village as a member of this community and as pastor, and I welcome you to worship this evening. There were three things on the tables as you came in. Whether you come in from that side of the building or this side of the building, there's a table on each end. Tonight, you need the blue book, which is our Celtic Earth Mass written by John Philip Newell. You need the red ELW hymn book, and then there's a half sheet there that will help you out. A couple of things about that. I messed up on one of the items. So there's a piece that is listed as the hymn of praise that we'll actually be singing in lieu of a Kyrie today. It's a song that is just where you sing hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. It's hymn number 173. We'll get you there. But that refrain that's on your half sheet, we'll be doing that during the offering. Clear as mud? Excellent. Okay. We'll cue you through, but just to give you a heads up that there's that I had printed the wrong thing. What else do you need to know? In the blue books, to know what you're, there's an integration, which I really love, between congregation and the leadership voices. And so throughout the service, whether it be the Thanksgiving or prayers or communion, there are bold print parts that are indicated by a little plus sign or a little cross at the beginning of those lines. And that is your parts as we do liturgy together this night. We very intentionally worship in the round. Especially as we talk about having this summer conversation and of unity of love. And throughout the week that you're here, throughout the days that you're here, leadership will appear from different parts of the circle. And I think this is an important learning for us to carry back with us down the mountain, that sometimes leadership comes from surprising places. And so there's no obvious furniture designating this is the person that is leading at this moment. It will be coming from where all of us are gathered. And I pray that we take that perspective, looking for leadership in our midst as we leave this place. I think that's one other note. The liturgy in this Celtic Earth Mass is different, especially if you come from a Lutheran context. And there is a beautiful Lord's Prayer that he has written. It's found on page 8. And I just want to make you aware of it. Know that you're welcome to pray whatever version of the Lord's Prayer you're most comfortable with. But I do invite you into that language. It will be quite different from what we have perhaps grown up with. But I love it, and I think it gives a nice deep meaning to our time together. With that, I invite us to a moment to allow the Spirit to gather us in to this place, giving thanks for one another and the holy wonder that surrounds us. As you're able, I invite you to please stand for the invocation. Come, come, O Christ, and stand in our midst, as you did stand in the midst of your disciples, and speak to us words of peace. Peace to each family, peace to each child, peace to each woman, peace to each man, peace. Peace to the creatures, peace to the nations. Come, come, O Christ, and stand in our midst, as you did stand in the midst of your disciples, and speak to us words of peace. Come to us from the heart of God. Come to us from the center of this moment. Come, come, O Christ, and stand in our midst, as you did stand in the midst of your disciples, and speak to us words of peace. We continue by singing hymn number 528, asking that the Spirit come and fill our hearts. 528.
Come and fill our hearts with your peace. You alone, O Lord, are holy. Come and fill our hearts with your peace. Alleluia. Come and fill our hearts with your peace. You alone, O Lord, are holy. Come and fill our hearts with your peace. Alleluia. Come and fill our hearts with your peace. You alone, O Lord, are holy. Come and fill our hearts with your peace. Alleluia.
You may be seated. And the service continues with the thanksgiving that is found on the bottom of page 3. Great creating spirit, from whom all life comes forth, here we gather again with bread and with wine, seeking your presence, longing once more to be nourished, hungering for wholeness in our lives, for unity on earth, and for peace among the nations. Here we gather with bread and with wine, but with more than bread and wine. Here we gather with creation's elements all around us, with earth, air, fire, and water still expanding through the universe, with the glory of the sun, with the whiteness of the moon, the glittering of heaven's lights of off-owing waters. Here we gather. Here we gather with the firm fecundity of the earth, the growing and greening of trees, creatures of the day and night, birds of the air, all full of your glory, all bearers of your presence, all part of the great harmony that we long to touch and taste and become one with again. So, with everything that we see and sense around us, with visible and invisible energies that pulse with life, we join our souls in the song that vibrates throughout the whole creation. Let us say together, Holy, holy, holy God, your presence fills all things. Hallelujah. It's hymn number 173.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
The first reading is from chapter 23 of the book of Jeremiah. Am I a God nearby, says the Lord, and not a God far off? Who can hide in secret places so that I cannot see them, says the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, says the Lord? I have heard what the prophets have said, who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long? Will the hearts of the prophets ever turn back? Those who prophesy lies and who prophesy the deceit of their own heart. They plan to make my people forget my name by their dreams that they tell one another, just as their ancestors forgot my name for Baal. Let the prophet who has a dream tell the dream, but let the one who has my word speak my word faithfully. What has straw in common with wheat, says the Lord? Is not my word like fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces? The second reading is from chapters 11 and 12 of the letter to the Hebrews. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as if it were dry land. But when the Egyptians attempted to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had received the spies in peace. And what more should I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered realms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched raging fire, escaped the edge of the sword, won strength out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received their dead by resurrection. Others were tortured, refusing to accept release in order to obtain a better resurrection. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned to death. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, persecuted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. Yet all these, though they were commended for their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better, so that they would not, apart from us, be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely. And let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. I invite you, as you're able, to please stand for the Holy Gospel.
A reading from the Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said, "I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, 5 in 1 household will be divided, 3 against 2, and 2 against 3, they will be divided. Father against son, and son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, and in-laws against one another." Jesus also said to the crowds, "When you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say it is going to rain, and so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say there will be scorching heat, and it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? The Gospel of the Lord. So for those I haven't met yet, my name is Allison Gray, and I'm here this week at Holden to lead Living Word Bible study in the mornings. And we know our theme this summer is unity in love, and then I was asked to preach with these lectionary readings, which are all about fire and destruction and torture and division. So I felt a little bit uncomfortable, and then I sort of went with that. So I'd like to share with you some reflections about productive discomfort. Because I think that one thing we can keep in mind through all of these readings is that they're written by human beings, not unlike us, who are finite, created people in relationship with an infinite creator God. And so as they're writing these texts, they're trying to work out what it means to be in relationship with that God. And it's troubling, and it's challenging, and it pushes them. And so these readings come out that reflect real human struggle, the struggle to integrate our experiences and the struggle to convert so that we can be pushed and challenged by this God. So I'm going to throw out a few of the experiences that I think are reflected in these readings, and maybe some of them will resonate with you. The first one is a sense of frustration and discontentment. And discontentment might even be a light word for what's going on in that first reading from Jeremiah. The writer has put in the mouth of God this extreme frustration, right? God has real prophecy, and the people instead are turning away from God. They're turning away from true prophecy to some other teaching that is not accurate, that is leading them astray. And I'm not sure about God's frustration, but I am sure that the writer of this text thought, God must be really frustrated. And I think that reflects the human frustration that we have when we see injustice. Right? So maybe that resonates with some of us. In our nation today, in our world, there are certainly experiences that make us think God must be crying out. We have to be prophetic. We have to cry out against the injustice that we see. Family separation on our border. People in Flint, Michigan who still don't have access to clean water. Injustices in our criminal justice system. All kinds of things might make us cry out with frustration. And I think that's part of our productive discomfort of being in relationship with God. Right? We as human people experience that frustration, and it pushes and challenges us to move in new ways. The second experience that I think is reflected here is a sense of divine power. Jesus shows up and says, I'm coming with fire. I have a baptism. I'm stressed out because I need to make this baptism and conversion happen. And we get the sense that God is like a hammer that breaks rocks, right? This is an intense kind of power that can change and transform us. And I love that image of fire that the writer has used. So maybe that resonates with some of us. Maybe you're not feeling discontent, but maybe you have a passionate fire to go out and make change. Maybe something is driving you and you feel ready to take action. Or maybe it's a smaller flame, right? Something that's steady, that keeps you going every day. You are sharing in that powerful transformation that just means getting up, taking the next step, moving into the next room. Alternatively, and this is maybe the one that resonates with me right now, you are experiencing the fire as directed at you, or you are experiencing God's power as a hammer that is breaking away rocks that you have somehow constructed. And I say that resonates with me because I often, and right now, have the experience of having to get rid of what I think I ought to be doing, right? Getting rid of the expectations I've set up for myself. I'm supposed to be self-sufficient, right? I'm supposed to be completely resilient. I can do things on my own. That is like a giant pile of rocks that I've put around myself like armor. And being in community is something that challenges me. And so maybe God is working with the hammer to chip away at that view of myself that I can do things all on my own and I don't need support from other people. And so that's one that I'm feeling right now. That power to be transformed, right? That power moves in us, it empowers us to transform our world. And then the third experience that I think is reflected in these readings is what I'm going to call historical consciousness, because I'm a biblical scholar, so I really like this historical consciousness idea. And what I mean by that is what we heard in the reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Part of our human experience of being in relationship with God is being aware that God has been working throughout history and will continue to work into the future. And I think that's what Hebrews means by the cloud of witnesses. So maybe it resonates that we're becoming aware of our place within a long-standing community of human beings who have been in relationship with God and those who come after us who will continue to be in relationship with God. And maybe your time at Holden is a place to come apart and reflect on the community that you belong to. So maybe it's a contemplative kind of feeling, just to step apart from the world and recognize your community. Or maybe it's a galvanizing experience. Maybe this place is not about contemplation, right? But maybe it's about giving you that spark, asking you to step up into your place in the community to make the changes that you'll make going forward. So maybe one of those three things resonates with you. Historical consciousness, the power of transformation, or the feeling of discontentment that might drive you to change. And maybe none of those things resonates with you, in which case I would say you, like the human beings who wrote these texts, might need to write your own text or song or poem or dance, whatever it is that allows you to express what you are feeling about what it means to be in relationship with a God who makes us uncomfortable. So I did come back around, I hope. So even though these reflect a diversity of experience, I think all of us share a unified experience of being in relationship with this God, right? And so my prayer for us this evening is that as we come to this table, we can encourage each other to embrace the challenge of being in relationship with a God who is a God of justice, who is a powerful God who can transform us and lead us to transform others, and who is a God who has joined us in history to give us the invitation to the Eucharistic meal. Amen.
I invite you to join in hymn number 358, Great God, Your Love Has Called Us. We'll sing verses 1, 2, and 5. As we by love for verse 5.
Great God in Christ, you set us free. Your life to live, your joy to share. Give us your Spirit's liberty to turn from guilt and dull despair and offer all that faith can do while love is making all things new.
I invite you to join with me for the prayer for the earth found on the bottom of page 5. Heaven and earth are full of your glory, O God. Your presence fills all things. Yet what have we done? Life forms torn forever out of the fabric of the universe. Wealth wasted. Nations at war. Families broken. Great creating spirit, hear our plea for mercy. Loving God, we thank you for the many ways that you hear our prayers and live through us to create a better future. We thank you for giving our trespasses towards one another and this beautiful earth that you've given us. And I pray that you inspire us to be filled with hope for work that we can do together. On behalf of all created things, in Jesus' name, amen. The peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us take a moment to share a word of peace with one another. All right, we continue to worship with our tithes and offerings. I made the announcement at dinner time, 100% of our offerings go to an organization called Las Americas, which is working within our broken immigration system, specifically out of El Paso, Texas, to bring legal aid to those going through that process. I'm also aware a lot of us do not carry money with us at Holden Village, so please don't feel embarrassed about that. You can find myself or David, the accountant, and we will gladly make sure that your offerings at any point this week make it to the organization and to folks that most need it. Again, the refrain that we'll be singing while we collect the offering is listed on the front of your page in the hymn of praise spot. Are we there? Okay. As we enter into the communion liturgy, I invite you in your red hymn books to have hymn number 473 open for the Sanctus. Hymn number 473, and then we go to begin our communion meal at the bottom of page 6 in your worship booklets. So you want both of those open. In memory of Jesus, into our brokenness came the memory of wholeness. Christ born among us, child of heaven, bearer of forgiveness, teacher of wisdom, rejected by the religious, companion of our soul. We stand together as you are able to sing the Sanctus.
Santo, 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 mi corazón te adora, mi corazón te sabe decir, santo eres, Señor. His
disciples at table on the night of his arrest, Jesus blessed the bread and said, "This is my body, broken for you." With his disciples on the night of his arrest, Jesus blessed the wine and said, "This is my lifeblood poured out for you." Come upon us with your Spirit, O God, and upon this bread of the earth. May it feed our longings for peace. Come upon us with your Spirit, O God, and upon this cup of unity. As Jesus taught us, we are invited to pray. Ground of all being, Mother of life, Father of the universe, may we know your presence here, seeking your will upon earth. Grant all your creatures food for today and strength for our families. Pardon our falseness as we forgive those who are untrue to us. Do not forsake us in our need, but lead us to new birth. For the glory of life and the light of life are yours forever. These are the gifts of heaven for you, the people of earth. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. A word about communion. Everyone will be kind of heading in this direction. You'll either be coming down this aisle here or this aisle here, and then you'll return back this direction to your seats. There's two different communion lines, so you all will be coming here. And then you all can come to the side, but feel free to go to either side. The first person will have gluten-free wafers. Then myself and Allison will have bread. You may dip the bread in the common cup, which is held by the next person, or you can drink from the common cup. If you prefer to have your own, there's a basket full of small pottery cups that will be the next station. The person after the cups, the first person will have wine, and the second person will have juice. So gluten-free, then bread, then common cup, and then you can have your choice of either wine or grape juice. Our desire is that there be no barriers between you and this feast that Jesus offers, and so we think thoroughly about these things. Please come to the table as you feel comfortable. And if you want to participate, but you're not sure about the bread and the wine, you can come up with your arms crossed over your chest, and we would love to give you a blessing. And I know that kids commune at all ages these days, which I think is fabulous, so make sure young people lift up their hands so we're sure not to miss them with the bread and the wine. Are we good? Please come. It is Jesus who invites you.
Oh,
And now may the fullness of Jesus Christ bless you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Please join with me in the prayer to the Spirit found on page 10. We pray, great creating Spirit, who swept over the depths of the unknown to give birth to creation in all its splendor. Great creating Spirit, who conceived new life in the womb of Mary to give birth to the child of peace. Great creating Spirit, who hovers over the waters of the human soul today to give birth to healings and visions that have never been before. Come to us as nations of the world. Grant us healing. We turn together to hymn number 837. It is entitled Many and Great, 837, and I invite you to stand as you are able.
Many and great.
Of the running wave to you, deep peace of the flowing air to you, deep peace of the quiet earth to you, deep peace of the shining stars to you, deep peace of the Sun of Peace to you. Depart in that peace, trusting that the love of the Creator of the whole universe goes with you.